This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Our numero dos of the Rob Brown Show underway. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, four of the most electrifying hours of sports talk radio you're going to find anywhere, available from 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday morning, except this week because we are off on Thursday and Friday. Your boy headed over to Charleston, South Carolina, spend a little time helping out the sister and brother-in-law with baby numero dos, and completely using that as a excuse to go sit on the beach and drink Mai Tais for a few days.
I hope it doesn't rain. It's raining a lot here.
It's supposed to.
Is it?
Yeah. And I'm kind of, hey, listen, I'm very adaptable on vacation.
Will you sit on the beach in the rain?
No, but I will sit in a bar on the beach in the rain. Like, not in the rain, but like if it is raining.
Maybe you get to, although it's Charleston, I don't know if they allow beach umbrellas or not, but get under the umbrella and just watch the rain fall around you on the beach.
I'm more of a balcony guy in the rain.
All right.
More of a balcony guy. Big dive bar on the beach guy. Like, big dive. You give me a dive bar with an open back wall that looks out over the beach. Oh, I'll sit in there for days.
Are there classy bars on the beach?
Why would I go to those?
I don't know.
I'm sure there are.
Because the only kind of, since I don't go to those things, the only thing you ever mention is dive bar.
Those are my favorite bars.
So why?
Because people are casual.
Okay.
You go to an upscale beach bar, and it's like, you know, you've got to be kind of like stuffy and keep it down, and there's like a guy on a piano, and it's like, all right, cool, fun. I like the bars where people are hooting and hollering and having a good time. That's my kind of bar. And you put it on the beach where it's like Jimmy Buffett vibes all day, you know? Like, give me that. If there's a Beach Boys bar and there's a Jimmy Buffett bar, I'm going to the Jimmy Buffett bar all day. Doesn't mean I can't like the Beach Boys vibe. Doesn't mean I don't occasionally appreciate a little bit of an upscale environment. I do. But give me the dive
bar
all day.
Beach Boys were into more stuff than Jimmy was, I believe. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I do believe if you go watch a documentary, I'm just saying. Compare the two. It doesn't matter, but compare the two, and the Beach Boys were into much worse stuff than Jimmy Buffett.
I don't disagree, but think the audience, man. And I guess I should really talk about when I'm talking about the Beach Boys vibe. There's room for Kokomo, but like, give me boat drinks all day long. All right, that's just what it comes down to. So we'll see what ends up happening this weekend. We're going over on Wednesday night. Baby comes on Thursday. We'll spend Thursday helping out, being the go-getters. We'll spend Friday helping mom get back to the apartment and get them settled in and comfy. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your boy's going to find who's got the best, who's got the best, I don't know, pina colada on the beach. Don't worry. I'll do the research.
I hope wherever you go, they play nothing but Pet Sounds from the Beach Boys.
For the record, Pet Sounds is my favorite vinyl that I own. I love the Beach Boys. I own two copies of Pet Sounds. I own one that's an OG pressing, and then I own one that I actually listen to. I'm just a Buffett guy at heart, man. Just a Buffett guy at heart. And as Jacob points out, dive bars are usually cheaper drinks. That goes a long direction. You're not wrong. All right.
Are there cheap things in Charleston? I still have
no. I don't know about that. Yeah. Cheaper. That's why I emphasize the in cheaper when it comes down to it. We got to get some stuff in here on the day. Talking NFL preseason football. We're going to talk some college football later on in the show as we are now, what I believe, 17 days away from the start of the season on August 28th. Tick tock, time. Let's go. But it is 7:05 in the morning. You have less than 55 minutes until you got to get your behind into the office, sat down in that chair, logged in. You're going to respond to those emails that you ignored all weekend long because there was football on television and screw your job, football's on. You're going to get those responded to. And then you're going to take that first well-earned break. You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to chat it up with Samantha, who works over in whatever department. Who even cares? Who knows where Samantha works? Does Samantha even work there? It doesn't matter. She talks sports. And when you talk sports, you got to know what's going on. So you don't embarrass yourself in front of Samantha. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, worry not, my dear friends. That's why we do this. Tis indeed the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your dog, whoever it is you spend your workday with. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive in. It's item number one. I don't know if you know this. If you don't, I'm happy to inform, enlighten, and educate. Asia Wilson's really good at basketball. Like, really good at basketball. 13 of 25 from the floor. 32 points in a 94-86 victory over the Connecticut Sun yesterday. She also had 20 boards. If you're keeping track at home, that is a 30-20 double-double. If you are keeping track at home, that means that Asia Wilson is the first WNBA player in history to record a 30-20 double-double. She is the first and only at this point. 32 points, 13 of 25 from the floor, 20 boards. Also her 14th double-double of the season. Her 6th career game with at least 30-15. She ties Tina Charles for the most in WNBA history, according to ESPN. Wilson also registered her 30th 30-point game. Asked about the performance afterwards, she said, quote, "It's huge. I didn't even know as many greats as we have in this league. It's kind of a shocker that it's just now happening. It's a blessing. I love what I do. I love what I do. I love it so much. So anytime that I can come out and just play basketball the way that I love it and the team and we're all getting involved, I'm happy with that," end quote. Wilson also, so far this season, became the fastest and second youngest player to score 5,000 career points. She now ranks first for 30-point games since entering the league back in 2018. She just turned 29 last Friday and says, quote, "I'm sure there's going to be a lot following up," end quote. She was not talking about games. She was talking about WNBA players in the future who will be running down her record for 30-20s, 30-15s, 30-point games, and points overall. I think at this point, I'm not going to say we've got to hand her the MVP. I'm saying she's my front runner at this point. Speaking of milestones, as item number one is about milestones, Justin Verlander is getting his ass kicked this season. He is 1-9 at this point. His only win against the Atlanta Braves, because of course it was not much to celebrate this season for Justin Verlander, but he did give the Giants something to talk about in an 8-0 loss to the Washington Nationals yesterday. He struck out the opening side. Three up, three down, all on K's. The first of those put Justin Verlander over the 3,500 strikeout mark. He is just the 10th pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to get to 3,500. He is 11 strikeouts shy of 9th overall most Ks in MLB history. Now, in fairness, in the last three games out for Verlander, a 0.6 ERA and 14 Ks across 15 innings. He did finish with six strikeouts against the Nationals, but he also gave up 11 hits and 5 runs before he got the hook in that game. Not much to talk about this year with Justin Verlander, but he does reach the 3,500 K mark. Let's get to item number two. Speaking of not much to talk about, the Atlanta Braves have not given Braves fans much to talk about, but this weekend was interesting because unfortunately they waited until they were 20 games below 500 to do it. The Braves offense looked like what we expected it was going to look like this season. Five games against the Marlins, Atlanta won four of them, and in all four wins, they scored seven runs or more. They opened up with an 8-6 win on Friday. They dropped game two, 5-1. Excuse me, on Thursday. They dropped game two on Friday, 5-1. Then a doubleheader on Saturday, 7-1, 8-6. And the cap yesterday, a 7-1 win over the Miami Marlins. Joey Wentz got the call to be the starter, 5.1 innings, gave up four hits, one earned run, K'd a couple before giving way. But again, the Braves offense on full display. Atlanta racked up nine hits that included doubles from Jurickson Profar, Ozzy Albies, and Michael Harris II. It included big dongs. Marcelo Zuna got his 19th of the season. Matt Olson got his 19th of the season. Michael Harris II got his 12th of the season. The Braves did go 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position, but fortunately, with the big dongs, it was enough to get it done offensively for the Bravos. So, too little, too late. The Braves improved to 51-67 by taking four of the five against Miami. They are also now back to 500 at home at Truist Park, a 30-30 record when they defend this house. Yeah, clack. But again, no room for Atlanta in the postseason at this point. It is just how do we grow? How do we develop? And yesterday, the Braves' bats look like they had found a little something-something. Let's get to item number three. A couple of winners to talk about over the weekend. We start with the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Justin Rose made up a three-shot deficit over the last five holes against Tommy Fleetwood, who at this point, I am convinced, Tommy Fleetwood must have, like, built his house on top of an ancient graveyard or something, because I am now convinced Tommy Fleetwood is cursed. This is like the 800th career event where Tommy Fleetwood had a lead with just holes to play and did not win. Justin Rose birdied four straight, narrowly missed a 13-foot birdie putt on the 18th at TPC Southland. Rose would make six birdies over the last eight holes he played. The last one, a 10-foot putt on 18 on the third playoff hole. He needed three playoff holes to get by U.S. Open champion J.J. Spahn. Rose described the golf as, quote, an amazing last 90 minutes. I played unbelievable golf down the stretch. When I bring my best, I know I'm good enough to play and to compete and now to win against the best players in the world. It was a very gratifying day for me. Spahn did not have a bad go of it. Made a 20-foot birdie putt on 17 to pull into a share of the lead, closed with a 65. Also made a 30-foot birdie putt on the second extra hole with Rose in what was a tight playoff. Spahn said, quote, I hung in there the best I could, and he beat me to the hole first. It just wasn't meant to be. J.J. Spahn locked up a spot in his first Ryder Cup. And, of course, Tommy Fleetwood, as we mentioned moments ago, looked to be his time to add a PGA Tour title to his litany of wins on multiple tours around the world. Knocked down a 35-foot birdie on the 12th, the first of three in a four-hole stretch that gave him a two-shot lead. But on 16, 17, and 18, it all fell apart. Fleetwood would end up shooting a 69, one shot out of the playoff, along with Scottie Scheffler, who grazed the edge of so many putts on the back nine, ended up with a 67 that could have been a 63 or 64 if he hadn't had a couple of lip outs. But there we have it. Over in the NASCAR world, another road race victory for Shane Van Gisbergen. It is his fourth win so far this year, his fifth career win. Van Gisbergen did not start from the pole this time. He was pole in Mexico City, Chicago, and Sonoma, but he got edged by Ryan Blaney. And so the question became, did the luck run out? Turns out, nope, not at all. Bided his time, took his first lead on the 25th of the 90-lap race, then settled into a rhythm on the 2.45-mile road course. The 36-year-old rookie had a very clean race, only three yellow flags displayed throughout the entire time. Over the final 17 laps, cruised to a big lead. In fact, the next closest competitor, Christopher Bell, was over 11 seconds out. Five victories in 38 career starts on the Premier Series for NASCAR. Van Gisbergen trails only Elliott and Larson amongst active drivers on street or road courses. Elliott has seven, Larson has six. He is also the fastest to five wins in Cup since the legendary Dan Gurney, who won his fifth race in just his 13th start, but that was all the way back in 1968. Trackhouse signed Van Gisbergen to a multi-year contract extension this week, and he rewarded them with a win. He is now tied with Denny Hamlin for the series lead in victories. He also holds the number two seed in the playoffs with two races remaining in the regular season. The first round, however, this is where it is going to be interesting, because the first round is three oval tracks. Van Gisbergen, who raced exclusively on road and street courses while winning three championships in the Australian-based Supercar League, has an average finish of 27th in oval courses. So the work cut out for the young man with four wins, but all of them in road courses. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, NFL preseason week number one in the books. Said it earlier in the show, we'll stick with it here. Preseason week one is not about evaluating teams. It is not about evaluating offenses or defenses. Week one is about evaluating new guys. It is about evaluating guys that you expect to have a franchise-changing impact on the team. So, what NFL youngsters stood out this weekend for the Carolina Panthers, for the Atlanta Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints, and others? We take a look at some of the standout youngsters when we come back. I am Rob Brown, the Great One Lonzo on the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Lonzo, and you. We are going to talk some college football later on in the show as we are now just days away from the start of the season. But we are talking quite a bit of NFL football after preseason week number one goes in the books. The opening week specifically, but really preseason at large, is not necessarily indicative of what your team is going to look like when the regular season rolls around. As we have talked about many times over the course of the lead up to the preseason and will multiple times through it, the preseason is predominantly about finding two things. Number one, which of your youngsters are going to be impact havers for your team? And number two, finding depth, finding guys that you can trust if you need to call upon them due to injury or changes in strategic pickups throughout the course of the year. It is about evaluating who is going to help your team that is new to it. So with that being said, let's take a look at some of the youngsters across the teams that we cover. We'll start with, of course, the Carolina Panthers. I will go with, initially, who stood out more than Ted Aroa McMillan. This is a dude that, when drafted, the question mark was, what is he going to add to the offense? And I think you saw flashes of it. You saw the 30-yard over-the-shoulder catch. That's kind of a Bryce Young special. I'm going to throw it so high that it's going to rain afterwards, but I'm going to make that throw if you have a defender in your hip pocket. That is the type of throw that is tough to catch, but if you show us that you can catch it, it goes into the weapons pile for Bryce Young. A lot of DBs, if they get in the back pocket, if you throw that thing at shoulder trail height, and a receiver locks eyes on it, and a good DB is capable of looking at a receiver's eyes, timing it out, and getting those hands up in the air. You got to get it over those hands, but you got to drop it down in a way the receiver can catch it. That's where that high fly sky ball comes from. McMillan showing that that catch is in the bag makes that route and that style of pass, it becomes a weapon. It's no longer a spray and pray. Like, I'm just going to throw it up there, and I hope if McMillan can get to it, it opens up a lot of opportunity for you in that go routes are now back on the menu, boys. I now know if I send McMillan down the sideline on a go route, and he is just able to get a step on a defensive back that's in the back pocket, I know I've got a chance to make something very special happen. Number two with McMillan. I think you saw on what coulda, shoulda, woulda been a touchdown. But the pass that Tet McMillan dropped when BY hit him on the double move to the in cut, if that pass is caught, easy touchdown. And that's a transition style catch for a guy taking passes from BY. A college quarterback, with the exception of the best of the best, that ball is coming out as McMillan is making the in cut, which means he's got another step or two before the ball gets there. It also means that so do the defensive backs. BY threw a very high-level football with that pass. If you watch it, Bryce is making the throwing motion while McMillan is still faking the out cut, which means the ball is released and well on its way already. When he plants the outside, cuts it back to the inside, gets that cornerback or safety, whoever's the man up, with hips turned to the outside, that cut to the inside is usually followed by the receiver taking one or two steps, then the ball arriving. That ball was already at the goal line when McMillan took the instep. That means it's cut in, turn the head, bang, there's the football. Those are the types of throws that are made at the NFL level. Really, and only by the best, but made at the NFL level. Those are the types of footballs that if McMillan can get better about coming out of the cut and turning with the knowledge the ball is going to be there. It is not turn, look at quarterback. It is turn and look at football, which is close, and then making the hands. I'm not mad about that drop. That's a drop that is going to not be a drop with time. But there's another wide receiver to me that had just as big of an impact. In fact, I got a little frustrated because I saw David Newton for ESPN. I saw his write-up of Jimmy Horn Jr. Because Jimmy Horn Jr., Rashad Beard pointed him out a little bit on Friday. Jimmy Horn Jr. may actually turn out to be a bit of a crown jewel in this draft class for the Carolina Panthers. Picked him up out of Colorado in the sixth round. And there are some signs that this kid might be a little bit of a playmaker. Targeted five times, caught four of them. Newton wrote up as if that was a disappointment because he only caught four balls for 15 yards. My response is, Jimmy Horn Jr. is not your big play wide receiver. He's not the guy that I have out there because I expect him to go catch me some home run footballs. Jimmy Horn's out there to do exactly what Jimmy Horn did in that spot, which is I need you to be my safety valve. I need you to be my outlet. I need you to be my guy that if they're playing a tight defense, you're the guy I trust to understand where are the sticks, get to them, sit down in a gap, and then be ready to make a play and hopefully be a yak daddy. I thought Jimmy Horn Jr. was very impressive in this game. Not that he had any huge plays. And again, I think sometimes we get caught up in big play equal big yardage. Big play equal touchdown. And that's not, for a guy like a Jimmy Horn Jr., that's not necessarily true. Sometimes the big play is, can you get me the first down? Sometimes the big play is, can you provide an outlet to avoid a sack? Sometimes the big play is, can you demand by being a presence that DBs play honest and don't shade over towards Teteroa McMillan? Jimmy Horn's the kind of guy that you take advantage of if you have a safety corner lined up on Teteroa McMillan and you start to recognize that the safety is shading over on T-Mac, who's one-on-one via DB, via cornerback on the outside. Jimmy Horn Jr. is the type of guy you run on a curl route to wherever the safety's vacating to go play a double team on McMillan, and you start to throw him the football to point out to the safety, hey, man, if you start playing dishonest football, we're going to eat you alive, and we don't care if it's 5 yards at a time. We don't care if it's completely 3-4-5 dink and duck up and down the field. This is 100% about can you force honest defensive formations. And I thought Jimmy Horn Jr. was spectacular about this. That's what I need out of this guy. I don't need big plays. That's what I got McMillan for. I don't need you to be a 1v1 jump ball stud. That's what I got, hopefully, and fingers crossed, Xavier Leggett for. I don't need you to be a spectacular slot receiver. That's what I got Adam Thielen for. I need you to be the guy that demands that defenses stay honest and do not overplay our stars. That's it. And I thought Jimmy did that. Nick Skarton, Princely, Oman Mielen, fine. They were fine. They weren't good. They weren't bad. I think they combined for one sack. Again, point out that it was one sack against Shedeur Sanders. And while you can have question marks about Shedeur Sanders, the one thing you cannot question about Shedeur Sanders is his athleticism. Not going to be a guy that's going to take a lot of sacks. A guy you can force to throw it away a lot. A guy you can force into making some questionable throws. A guy that you can make bad decisions. But not a guy I think is going to be sacked a lot. So I'm not super concerned about the lack of sacks out of my brand new edge rushers. What I am concerned about is the couple of times that Shedeur was able to break contain. That's what I get concerned about. Your edge rushers, the assumption is the job is to get sacks. It's not. Those are a benefit to the job, but the job is to not get sacks, especially when you are playing a quarterback who is as mobile and agile and hostile as a Shedeur Sanders. I'm looking for contain. Can my defensive ends, can my edge rushers set the edge? Do not let number two get across your face and get wide of you. If he does, that's where we get dangerous. That's where we find ourselves in a problem. There were a couple of times that Shedeur Sanders was able to get to the edge, get to the outside. If he can get to the outside as a rookie, as a guy playing in his first NFL game, what does Baker Mayfield do if he gets to the outside? What does Spencer Rattler do if he gets to the outside? What does Michael Penix Jr. do if he gets to the outside? And if you end up winning this division, what happens if some of the more, even more agile and successful quarterbacks get to the outside? It creates a problem for you. It creates an issue for you. So I'm not unhappy with the guys on the edge, with the young guys, the edge rushers, which was the other emphasis of the 2025 Panthers draft. I am saying there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of room for improvement. I was not upset or unhappy with any of the young guys. I thought Jimmy Horn Jr. stood out. I think McMillan showed you exactly why he got drafted. I think the edge rushers, the two primary guys that I was concerned about, showed you that there's going to be a learning curve to this. And again, when you get Derek Brown back, that's going to be a big help, because there were a lot of spots where guards were able to help out with the edge rushers because they weren't having to worry about the double team of one of the best nose tackles in the game. You get Derek Brown back into that equation. Now all of a sudden guys have to be concerned about, all right, we got to get an extra body on that guy. We got to stay tight to the center, chip in, push Derek Brown back to the middle. Now there's probably one less guy on our edge rushers more often. I'm not freaking out about it yet. Texter said, Rob, I think we have to pump the brakes a little on the Panthers' defense. The play calling was vanilla Friday night. I think they'll be a top 15 defense with the return of Derek Brown and the signings they made. I'm cautious about it. I'm not even going to say cautiously optimistic, Texter. Just cautious about what I saw. I'm not saying they're going to be good. I'm just not ready to say they're going to be back to bottom of the league bad. We'll talk some more NFL preseason as the day rolls on. Hour three, going to be a lot of college football. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is the Fan Upstate.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate taking your overreactions or lack thereof from week one of the NFL preseason. We had a brief discussion back in the first hour about Xavier Leggett. A texter has reached out on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line 844-326-3663. Shoot us your text. We will read and address them on the air. Texter said, quote, just a comment on Xavier Leggett. Hate to see what happened after you hear all offseason that he is taking the next steps. Winners slash successful players don't do that, especially in a preseason game. Listen, I agree with the take. I agree with the text. It is disappointing that a guy that we all have, I think, at least I do, very high hopes for. I think Xavier Leggett has all of the necessary tools to be exactly the receiver that the Panthers need him to be. And as we have talked about, this dude has looked good in the preseason. He's been a obviously fantastic content generating machine just by being himself, which is fantastic. But I'm talking about on the football field. I have seen the videos of XL taking Paul Skeens heaters off the jugs machine and having few to no problems grabbing him. I've seen this dude look like he's in the best shape of his life. Dude looks thick with multiple C's on the end. Everything's looked good. And so we were waiting for preseason game number one for Xavier Leggett to prove that all of the work that he is alleged to have done in the preseason, or excuse me, in the offseason to get ready for the preseason was ultimately going to pay off. I'm not saying it hasn't. I'm saying Xavier Leggett cost himself the chance to prove that. I am not don't throw hands guy. I am don't throw hands at a dude's head when he's wearing a helmet guy. I don't think that needs to be said.
He shouldn't have did it. And, you know, punching a helmet still is, it's stupid no matter what year it is. If it was 1974 or 2025, punching a helmet is just dumb. But can you put all that aside and judge his form? As a former boxing guy.
I thought it looked pretty good. It wasn't good. And on top of that, you know, you can have all the form in the world when it comes to boxing. And this is one of the reasons that despite having some training from the greatest pound-for-pound boxer in the history of the game, I'm also not inclined to utilize it. Because being able to throw a good jab-jab cross combo is fantastic. But if you're in a scrap and a dude grabs you by the shirt and pulls you in, that kind of goes out the window. Because you can't do that in boxing. So, you know, as far as a football fight goes, I mean, not overwhelmingly impressed. And I guess that's going to be the other part of it is, and I'm only like half joking when I say this, if you're going to get into a fight in the preseason, at least win it, right? I don't think there was really a winner in that.
Well, he didn't look good when his helmet got pulled, when he tried to go for the double leg, and it was ugly all the way around.
Yeah.
It really was. And I still don't know what the guy said or did to get him to do that.
And that is why.
What is his trigger?
That is why I don't judge scraps. And now I will judge timing of said scrap. I will judge execution of said scrap. But I don't judge what led to it happening. There is a fantastic scene from Ted Lasso, which if you haven't gotten around to watching it, do it because it's spectacular. There is a scene from Ted Lasso where one of the players on the team, who is kind of known for being like a good dude but kind of a hard ass, Isaac McAdoo. He is the captain of AFC Richmond, the fictional team around which this show is based. And as they are walking off the pitch after the first half, a guy in the crowd, a fan in the crowd, yells a slur at one of his teammates / friends. And McAdoo ends up in the stands going toe-to-toe with this guy. He gets obviously sent off with a red card, suspended, whatever. And they go to Roy Kent, who is kind of the ex-player turn coach, hard-assed enforcer, whatever. And they go, do you approve what he did? And the guy goes, no, I'm not going to approve, but I'm also not going to judge him as a person based on it because. And he goes to basically say, we sometimes forget that these players are players. And we sometimes forget that these people are people. I don't know what got said to XL. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was just the guy was holding him. And let's be real, if you're a guy like Xavier Legette, who is got this preseason effectively to prove that he is the dude that he was drafted to be. If this dude, the defensive back on the other side, is preventing him from doing that by playing dirty football, I can see how that get in his head. I can see that he said something about his mama or his dog, or let's be real, he probably insulted Dollar Bill. But whatever he said or did, I'm not going to judge that until I know the story. Here is what I will judge. Regardless of the reason, good reason or bad reason, I need you out there. Because it's not just about you proving it to me that you are that guy. It is also about you proving to Bryce Young that you can be trusted as a wide receiver, a primary wide receiver. It is about you proving to Dave Canales that you can be trusted as a primary wide receiver. It is about you proving to your offense that they can trust you in the heat of the moment not to lose your cool. Because all you proved to them and to us as fans, all that you proved is that defenses now know, and if they can figure out what got said, they can now get in your head as well, unless you can cool it. All they know is you're a hothead, right? That's not a good trait to have. Look at Tyreek Hill. We know what Tyreek Hill is capable of in his best form, right? We know what this guy can do. We also know that when he overreacted to the end of the Dolphins season last year, and he was tweeting, I've had a good time, Miami, I'm out. And then it turns out that he's not out and he's still a Miami. Well, guess what's happened with Tyreek Hill? Tyreek is now having to earn back the trust of his team, and it ain't going great. There was a clip got posted on the way to the preseason game for the Dolphins, or maybe it had been from a practice beforehand. Don't know, don't matter. Tyreek's on the bus. He is in a seat in front of his kicker. He puts him, I don't know if it was on Instagram Live or if Tyreek posted it because he thought it was funny or what. But Tyreek's in front of his kicker, and he does that thing where he puts it on video, but he like then raises it up, and the kicker thinks he's about to take a picture. But he's filming. And after a second or two where the guy's like, take the picture, Tyreek looks at him and goes, you better not miss a kick this year. And you can see this look of almost like disgust. The gross one. You can see this look of gross on the kicker's face.
You said it right the first time, dude.
Yeah, I know, but then my brain confused itself. He had this look of disgust on his face. And Tyreek goes, you better not miss a kick this year. And the kicker, in what I can only describe as like a genuine moment, says, yeah, you better not drop a ball this year then. And then just turns away. And maybe I'm reading into that moment because of all of the drama around Tyreek Hill. But that kind of looked like a behind-the-curtains moment of what Tyreek has bred on this football team, right? They don't trust this guy. This guy was willing to, at the end of last season, throw them under the bus and make it sound like it was the Dolphins' fault that Tyreek was a disgruntled wide receiver. And here's this moment that could have, should have, would have been like a fun little moment on IG Live with one of his boys saying, oh, you better not miss a kick. And instead, this kicker is like, yeah, you better not drop a ball, jackass. He didn't say jackass, but I felt it. Like, I felt it coming. That's kind of what I'm talking about. The question mark now this year is...
So it's more disrespectful because it comes from the kicker.
No, but like it's disrespectful in that if you're going to call out somebody on the team, why go after that guy when you yourself were the biggest problem this offseason? Because remember, it wasn't just walking away from the Dolphins at the end of the year. It was also the next domestic violence arrest that Tyreek went through, right? Like, he's had plenty of problems offseason. He became the big distraction. And now he's up in here dropping bombs on the kicker. Why? You're the guy that's been the problem this offseason. So to circle back around to Xavier Leggett, the issue I bump into now is not whether or not we as fans trust Xavier Leggett to be the guy that we're going to get the most out of for the Carolina Panthers. Now I got to think, if I'm Bryce Young, can I trust this guy? If I'm Dave Canales, can I trust this guy? Because here's what I do know. What I do know is, if it's that easy to get into Xavier Leggett's head that a DB did it within the first handful of minutes of preseason game one, can I trust him when games are on the line? Do I even give him a roster spot if it turns out that all you got to do is say, hey, XL, dollar bill ain't that fast. And now he wants to throw hands?
So this makes me think of wrestling to a degree, and I hope this isn't the case, where a guy who does killer promos, and he just, I mean, he kills it on the mic, but he gets in the ring and he's like mediocre. I hope this isn't what we get. I hope we get improvement from Leggett, but we didn't get a chance to see it because of what he did in the game.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. This is a cat who has everything on the line. I mean, really, everything on the line. Because what good is a wide receiver two who can't catch the football? What good is a wide receiver two that the quarterback doesn't trust? None. Not at nilch, none. Especially when you have this deep of a wide receiver room. The Panthers have put together a stunning wide receiver room. McMillan looks like he's the real deal. Thielen was that good at wide receiver one. Imagine what he's going to be back in the slot. Jalen Coker looked in this offseason game, or excuse me, preseason game number one. Jalen Coker looked like he might be a dude. And then you start to add in the Hunter Renfros of the world. Right now, today, and I genuinely want you to think about this. If I told you right now today that you could only keep one, Xavier Leggett or Hunter Renfro, who are you keeping? Because I'm going to make a lot of arguments. It might be smart to keep Hunter Renfro at this point, right? That's kind of the point here. It's not that I got an issue with a guy throwing hands, because I've said a few times it is a philosophy I live by. I think there are some times and some places where we, as the United States, need to come up with a five-to-the-face rule. That is to say, if you're acting a fool and a dude slaps you in the face to chill you the bleep out, if half the people who see it agree that you had it coming, the slapper is off the hook, right? I'm not talking about beat the hell out of a dude. I'm saying if you punch a guy in the face and half the people who witnessed it say, yeah, that guy deserved to be punched in the face, the guy who does the punching's off the hook. Like, I'm not saying it was right or wrong what he did. I don't know what got said. and I don't know if it was a lesson worth teaching. What I do know is I now have one fewer opportunity to figure out if Xavier Leggett's the guy or not. I have one fewer opportunity to find out, do we keep him and cut Hunter Renfrow? Do we keep Renfrow and put Dollar Bill and XL on the practice squad? Do we DFA him outright? Like, I don't know what to do with this guy, and now I have one less opportunity. Here's what I will say. Preseason game number 2 coming up this weekend, XL better have his gosh darn head screwed on right. XL better be out there doing his thing. Because another instance like that, and he could lose his job before he gets to prove what he did was an upgrade this offseason.
And even though it's preseason, now people have seen what he did. So the opposing team's going to come in and say, let's see what we can do to get him out of the game.
Yeah. I mean, you become a target. You become a target. If you genuinely have this hot-headedness, knowing that you are in a situation to prove you deserve the wide receiver 2 spot, and I can get you to freak out like that, if I'm a DB, I'm talking bleep about Dollar Bill every time we line up. Hey, dude, your horse is ugly. Dollar Bill got 3 legs shorter than the 1. Like, whatever I can come up with, man, I'm getting after him.
Is that really a diss for
I don't
horse?
Know how to insult the horse.
I don't know either.
All right? I don't know what the insult, I don't know what the right insult to a horse is. I'm just saying I'd be spitballing until I got one that was right. Hey, man, your horse got dumb teeth. I don't know how to insult the horse. But if I did, I'd bring it to XL. Here's something I can't insult, Lonzo Sports Flash.
Yeah, now I just, okay. The Atlanta Braves offense was clicking over the weekend as they took 4 of 5 against Miami and scored at least 7 in all 4 wins. The series was wrapped with a 7-1 victory yesterday with 9 hits, including homers from Ozuna, Olsen, and Harris II, and doubles from Profar, Albies, and Harris II. Former South Carolina Gamecock Asia Wilson keeps making WNBA history in a 94-86 win over the Sun. Wilson finished with 32 points and 20 rebounds, becoming the first WNBA player to record a 30-20 double-double. It's the 14th double-double of the season and the 6th of her career with a 30-15 over betting starting line. Spencer Rattler got the start for the Saints against the Chargers yesterday. Rattler went 7-for-11. For 53 yards and carried 3 times for 22 yards, leading all rushers for New Orleans. Rookie Tyler Shuck completed 15 of 22 passes for 165 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.